call in for Brad this morning. Brad back tomorrow. Our next guest is Edward Goldberg. He is professor of international political economy at New York University's Center for Global Affairs. He is widely read, widely quoted in publications and outlets like the New York Times, The Hill, Foreign Policy, The Wall Street Journal, The Washington Times, Yahoo Finance, AP Radio, Public Radio, CBS, Bloomberg, and here on The Talk of Connecticut. Ed Goldberg, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you on this Boxing Day?
Oh, it's Boxing Day for all our Canadian friends. Absolutely. Ed, you wrote a piece that actually caught my eye before I knew you were doing appearances on it. It was in The Hill, and it asked the question, is Vladimir Putin now the most successful leader in the world? And I read the piece, and it's interesting. I know you're not saying he's the nicest guy in the world, the most well-intentioned guy in the world, but we look at the world, the word leader in the world. Talk about what your theory is.
Well, here you have a guy, you know, he's the head of a, Putin's head of a, this country. The country has, you know, we think of powerful Russia, but in a modern world, we think of a country in its economic might. Russia has a GDP slightly larger than Spain, depending upon the month. Mm-hmm. It has a per capita GDP smaller than Malaysia. So, I mean, he, and here's Putin, you know, again, boxing is the term, you know, fighting above your weight class. Here's, mm-hmm. here's Putin, whose weight class of Russia would be, you know, in the lightest weight, and he's acting like a heavyweight. I mean, he's been able to take Russia, who doesn't play in the globalized world, who has one of the worst economies in the world, totally commodity dependent, never invested in anything new recently, mm-hmm. and make it into a player. This is amazing.
Yeah, you know, and I've often wondered about that, and I've mused doing shows like this. Is he allowed to do that, Ed, solely because of two things? One, his commodities, oil and natural gas. And number two, the military, his nuclear arsenal. Are those really his two aces in the hole here?
Well, he has a lot of advantages in that respect. He has his nuclear arsenal. He borders on more troubled areas than any other country in the world. And he has, of course, veto power in the UN Security Council. Mm-hmm. But he's allowed to do that because the world lets him do it. You know, he's a chaos creator. And the more chaos he creates, the more he's able to create chaos. So, for instance, let's look what's happening with Crimea in the Ukraine at the mm-hmm. moment.
Yeah.
In 1994, Russia, along with the United States, along with Germany, along with Europe, signed an agreement guaranteeing the territorial integrity of the country of Ukraine. They signed this agreement. He violated the agreement. U.S. put sanctions on him. Mm-hmm. Europe put sanctions on him. But now we're saying, maybe the sanctions are too tough a little bit, so we take the sanctions off the largest Russian aluminum company. He now seizes Ukrainian ships. We do nothing. He's about to he's putting a huge amount of troops on the Ukrainian border. No one is saying boo, mm-hmm. because the rest of the world is in chaos, partly that he created.
And I also, Ed, read that the tentacles, if you will, maybe that's a bad word, but the reliance that some of these countries have on that Russian oil and Russian natural gas and other minerals, it's making it a little tough for some of these countries to step forward and really flex their muscle on this.
Well, that was so when you know, oil was high, mm-hmm. you know. But now that his power there is diminishing.
Yeah.
And so, for instance, Poland's starting to buy liquid natural gas from the United States. Mm-hmm. You know, and China, who should be his main fear, was able to, because energy is so cheap, to really get him over the barrel and buy a really cheap contract from him.
Needed
money.
What do you think the current dynamic is between Russia and China? We almost looked at them growing up, guys like you and I, Ed, as a monolith here. But what do you think the dynamic is between those two right now?
Oh, at the moment, I think it's China is, you know, Russia needs Russia's greatest fear, in a way, is China.
Mm-hmm.
Russia needs China desperately to buy its oil.
Mm-hmm.
China sees it could get energy cheaply from Russia because Russia's in a desperate situation. I think there's absolutely no love lost there.
Ed Goldberg, the guest, professor of international political economy at New York University Center for Global Affairs. He wrote a piece in The Hill, "Is Vladimir Putin Now the Most Successful Leader in the World?" You know, Ed, I saw an interview, a lengthy interview with Mr. Putin, well, probably about a year ago or so, that was done on CBS News. And, you know, he had a sit down, and the interviewer, you know, at the time was asking him about, you know, about his leadership and about, you know, his attitude toward the U.S. And he said something interesting that seemed, at the time, you know, somewhat sincere. The interviewer said, "Why do you do what you do? Why do you conduct yourself, Mr. Putin or Mr. President, the way you do?" And he leans forward and he says something. I'm kind of paraphrasing here, Ed, but he says something like, "We want Russia to be respected. We want Russia to matter. We want our point of view up there with the U.S." What do you make of that?
Oh, I think that's absolutely so. I think since the breakup of the Soviet Union, Russia's felt they were no longer a player.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, don't forget they gave up all the power to control all these countries. They were a player. And they gave that up. And Russia really, Russia, Putin really believes in the greatness of Russia. But he doesn't understand the greatness in the world today isn't armies per se. Of course it is armies. But it's what your economic power is. And he's done nothing to improve Russia economically. Russia was commodity dependent 50 years ago. It's commodity dependent now.
And that's interesting, Ed, because Russians are, you know, look, if you look back at, like I do, and I'm a real space junkie, if you look at the Russian technology sector and what they were once available to establish and use, say, in the nuclear arms race and the space race and other aspects, they have incredibly bright scientists. Why are they not used in other parts of their economy? I don't get it.
Well, it's because it's called in economics the resource curse. When you have so much money coming in one area, you just become essentially, and I'm saying this in a very simplistic way, you become lazy. And
yeah,
you have just a group of people controlling all that money. And why invest in everything else if all this other money's coming in?
You know,
the resource curve.
And you mentioned a couple of seconds ago, and I hearken back again to that interview with Charlie Rose. Mr. Putin, during that interview, and I don't think it was phony, you may have seen the interview, he started to wax poetic about Russia and their role in World War II. And Charlie Rose said, well, establish on, you know, expand on that. And Putin said, you know, "You Americans and the Brits and the French, yeah, you lost people, but your losses in World War II were nowhere as significant as we, you know, we suffered against Germany and against the Axis powers." You know, and he actually started to tear up in that interview. He goes, "What have we gotten out of it?" You know, I was watching that, Ed, saying to myself, I kind of understand where he's coming from now.
Well, yes, his losses were, no one can question that,
yeah,
Russia took the most difficult hit in World War II.
Yeah.
Dramatic. No one can question it. But, you know, Russia has always seen itself as needing states around it to buffer. Now, World War II is a great example. I mean, from history of modern times, Moscow's been invaded by Scandinavia. Poland once invaded Moscow. We know Napoleon invaded Moscow.
Yeah.
Hitler invades Russia. Russia is always fearful of the outside. It's almost like they have a paranoia of dealing with the outside, and therefore they need buffer states like the Ukraine to protect them, in their mind.
Is President Trump trying to schmooze Putin? You know, somebody asked me about this, Ed, what I thought of it, just in conversation. And I said, you know what? I think, and I'd love to know your feelings on this, I think that the relationship between Mr. Putin and Mr. Trump right now almost seems to be that of a couple of mob bosses. It's almost like, listen, you have your territory, we have ours, let's try to get along. Neither one of us really trusts the other one. What do you think?
You know, I don't know enough about that dynamic. You know, what I read in my and my experience, a little bit of experience in Russia, is that Putin has manipulated Trump. But so I don't think it's, you know, we're equal and we don't trust each other. I think there's a bit a historic manipulation there, and Trump's been played. But I honestly can't say that factual. That's just my sense of knowing how things are done in Russia, in my sense of, you know, what sounds logical to me.
Is Vladimir Putin president for life?
Well, you know, he's and actually, that's a funny story. Officially not, but in his news today out of Moscow that he's trying to do away with term limits.
I know you're shocked, aren't you?
You're right. So I know. Round up the usual suspects, right?
He is also, he's, and this is not about whether he's a good guy or bad guy. We know what Putin's about, Ed, but right? But he's a fascinating leader to watch. It's almost, he almost, as much of an iron grip as he has on that country, and people who challenge him end up dead and everything, it's almost fascinating to watch him, the portrayal of, it's almost a caricature with the topless photos and the guy riding a horse and hunting and playing hockey. And I sit there and I go, yeah, he understands marketing. They talk about Trump being a marketer. I think, I think Putin understands marketing just as well.
Well, and Putin's biggest advantage over Trump on this one, he controls the press. You know, if anything, My essay in The Hill was mistitled. It should have been, is Putin the best player in the world today?
Interesting. So you would have headlined it as Putin the best player in the world. Interesting.
Correct.
Interesting. Well, the guest has been Ed Goldberg. He would like to have had his piece titled, is Putin the best player in the world, but it's, is Vladimir Putin now the most successful leader in the world? Check it out. It's at thehill.com, the opinion section, and you can read Ed all over the place. New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Washington Times, Yahoo Finance, The Week, Google News, also all around the electronic media. Ed, it's been fascinating. We hope to have you back. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Ed Goldberg, professor of international political economy at New York University's Center for Global Affairs.